seated. Augustine, a bishop and theologian of the 4th century, once said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee." This morning I want to deal with an issue which the Apostle John addresses in 1 John 3:19 and 20 with these words, "We know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things." So this morning I want to focus on this issue of dealing with doubt, specifically when Christian believers doubt our standing before God because our hearts and minds condemn us. While John doesn't enumerate the reasons why our hearts condemn us, I don't think it's too hard to figure that out. There are several reasons. Some reasons for self-condemnation could be the introspective and inward-looking tendency of some believers. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but you're trying to get out an apology to somebody who offended you, and they say to you, "Sorry isn't good enough." Yeah, that'll make you feel awkward. Aren't we glad God doesn't say to us, "Sorry isn't good enough"? Or it may be a question of health, for a person's health affects how we think. It may be due to a specific sin which is harping at the believer's heart and conscience. But whatever the cause, the problem is real. And John addresses this very real pressing issue in the lives of believers. Although there are many causes of doubt and self-condemnation, there's really only one answer to this problem. So how does a Christian deal with this specific type of doubt? The Christian must take this problem in hand, confront the issue with what he knows about God and about God's work in his or her life. So the first way that John deals with this issue is for Christians to recall the work of God in our hearts and lives. 1 John 3:19, again, "We will know by this that we are of the truth." From this context, it appears that John is using the phrase that "we will know that we are of the truth," pointing back to the practice he's just addressed of Christian love in 1 John 3:17 and 18. Now, the hearts of sensitive Christian believers might already start accusing themselves by this test of love for the brethren, because they know they don't always love brothers deeply enough. And they could recall specific examples in the recent past when they neglected to help someone they had the opportunity to do so. So let's review what John has already said in this chapter about the nature of love. Christian love is to be self-sacrificing for the benefit and welfare of others. Last week I used the phrase washing each other's feet, not to be taken in a literal sense, but in the very practical sense of helping one another and looking for constructive opportunities to help one another. John has spoken of the duty to meet specific needs of specific Christians. And so John continues in this vein in 1 John 3:18, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." We don't just want to talk a good line about love. We want to actually practice Christian love in deed and truth. We love one another in deed and truth when the actions of our lives demonstrate Christian love and self-sacrifice. So John's message to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is when your heart condemns you, don't look at your failures to love, but remember the ways in which the Holy Spirit has led you to help others, to love and serve others, and stop doubting the work of God in you. There's a second way to deal with and overcome doubt, and that is by continuing to trust in God, who is greater than your heart's condemnation. In other words, our faith in Christ must be based on the fact of God's word and his promises and his relationship with his people. God has revealed himself in his word, the scriptures, as the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and who is present with us everywhere at once. Even where there are spots on this planet where nobody's living, God is there too. In fact, God's presence is throughout the whole universe. Going back to 1 John 3:20, John makes reference to God being greater than our hearts and knowing all things. While sometimes in Scripture the attribute of God possessing all knowledge is meant to challenge us to live in the reality of God's omniscience so that we straighten up and fly right, so to speak. We live in proper reverence and sobriety of the all-knowing God. But in this context, God is speaking of himself as all-knowing, not as a rebuke, but as a comfort. A comfort to us at times when we lack assurance because our conscience is in overdrive and is condemning ourselves. And so John is telling us, God's greater than your heart's condemnation. And so stop hearing the voices of condemnation in your head and heart. God's perfect evaluation of us in Christ are infinitely more important and more weighty than our self-condemnation and lack of assurance. Certainly, the Apostle Peter must have had a very troubled conscience after he denied that he knew Christ three times. In fact, when the scripture points out that the rooster crowed and Jesus looked at Peter, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Despair and lack of hope are two weighty weapons that both Satan and our minds uses against us in times of weakness. Therefore, we need to ground our assurance that we are loved and accepted by God based on God and his word and the one who is all-knowing. And certainly upon the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased our salvation on the cross of Calvary. That's the basis of our assurance. Not how much you or I punish ourselves and tell us that we're dirt. No, we are cleansed through the power of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to reassure ourselves by God's judgment of us in Christ, which is alone infallible and trustworthy. And we need to stop listening to our own voices of condemnation. When we trust in Christ as the divine Son of God and our Lord and Savior, God sees us and evaluates us not in the light of our sins, but through the redemptive work of his Son on the cross. And that's what we need to be believing. This truth is greater than our hearts, and we ought to use it, the fact of God's love in Christ, as a defense against a guilty and condemning conscience. We need to retrain our conscience and our thinking so that our self-evaluation is based on Christ's work for us and not by our own actions. After all, if you can give lasting peace to your conscience by your own voice of your heart, then what's Christ's work worth anyway? If you're the one that justifies your conscience by your own efforts, why did Christ come? We need to believe the reality of Christ's death, his resurrection for us, and not our own works, including the work of our conscience to get peace. Our confidence is to be found not in our experience, but in God's work and word. This scriptural theme of assurance of Christ's work for us is beautifully expressed in the refrain of the hymn, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Do we really believe it, that God's grace is greater than all our sin? One very practical benefit of gaining and maintaining the assurance of our salvation is that we can be confident in coming before the Lord in prayer, knowing that He answers our prayers according to His will. 1 John 3:21 and 22 say this, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." Assurance gives us boldness to come before our Heavenly Father based on the finished work of the cross. And any measure of growth we have is due to the Spirit's work in us. And so John is talking about the byproducts of our faith in that we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, it's based on the work of Christ and the work of the Spirit in our hearts. So assurance in our hearts of God's word and promise yields godly boldness in coming to the throne of God's grace, knowing that He will give us what we need in order to serve Him. A third way that we can combat doubt by taking comfort is knowing that the Holy Spirit and His abiding presence in us and His witness within us. 1 John 3:23 and 24 say this, "This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. We know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." The Holy Spirit bears witness within us of our salvation. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we are able to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we are able to love one another and walk in obedience to God's commandments. So the Holy Spirit uses the written word of God, which He has inspired, to strengthen us in our walk with Him, even when we have battles regarding doubt and lack of assurance. God the Holy Spirit gives us inward conviction that these promises are true and that He is active in our lives. God the Holy Spirit uses His word to grant us relief from a condemning heart. We're able to combat doubt and overcome it by looking at the Spirit of God and His work within us. It is through His abiding presence and His work in our hearts and lives that we believe the gospel and obey God. So we overcome doubt and condemnation in the sure and certain knowledge of the work of God in our lives and God's verdict of the acquittal of sinners, believing sinners, through the work of Christ on our behalf. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. And that rest is through the work of Christ and the work of the Spirit within us. This is how we both have assurance and continue and maintain our assurance, based on God's love for us, God's work for us, and God's work in us. Let us pray.